I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
Woo! All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Weekdays, 9 to 11 o'clock, I provide you independent thinkers out there with a safe space to think your own thoughts. No groupthink, no love for political parties or individual politicians is practiced here. Next hour, we're going to have a guest. We're going to have Aaron Kate Goode in from the Center for Pregnancy Choices. And I've gotten to know one of the girls that works with them. And I'm starting to pay a little bit more attention to local issues. I've kind of made a thing about this over the past couple of weeks, particularly as you see King Biden wield his executive pen. What is he up to now? Something like 39 executive orders? I'm not sure. He may be doing them as we speak right now. But I think really the last 4 years has shown a lot of us, has shown me, and I think I'm probably in the majority of people listening to me, the federal government is lost. It is just lost. Even local governments. I think 2020 showed us that local governments are just lost. It doesn't matter if we're looking at some of the bigger cities that are bankrupting themselves. They stand down in the face of what they view as politically correct violence and can't control what is just out of control violence. You got teachers unions and going against kids going back to school. I mean, these organizations, our institutions don't work. They just do not work. I should just do a 2-hour show where I just open up the show and I say, give me a call with every government institution that works well. And then I'm just going to sit here and we'll have 2 hours of dead air. But so I'm paying a little bit more attention to some of the local stuff because I think it's time to start battening down the hatches, making sure that we are supporting our locally owned businesses and our local charities here, too. The Center for Pregnancy Choices has also got clinics in a lot of different places, but it's a group that has done on volunteer stuff. I've been paying attention to Dave Portnoy that does Barstool Sports. I don't know if you followed this guy. He sold it a while back. I wasn't a fan of his before or whatever. He's a brash dude, made a lot of money, built a bit of a sports niche empire and sold it. He's been raising money for local businesses around the country. I think he's past $30 million now. He started it with $500,000 of his own money and has attracted other people to give money, and he's just vetting businesses. And, like, people can apply. Small businesses can apply to this guy, and in 72 hours they can have a check. They vet them. They've got a team there that vets them. If someone contacts them, hey, we've got a longstanding small family business that has just been devastated by COVID, had to lay people off. It takes them 72 hours to vet these businesses and send them out a check, get them money right then and there. From other adults who voluntarily give money to Dave Portnoy's organization for them to help small businesses. 72 hours. Check on the way. In a person-to-person exchange. And this could be replicated over and over. Again, this is like this Center for Pregnancy Choices. If we just freed ourselves from the idea that our institutions work for us at all. You sit around and you wait on a politician to pass a bill or get something done or strike something down. And it never happens. I don't know if you've ever noticed. It never happens. I mean, it just never happens. So I'm going to be focusing a lot on this show of trying to convince people that as you understand that our institutions are failing, our medical establishment has just massively failed us over the last 10 months, that there are ways that we take our power back. We can do it ourselves. We don't need them. And choices are right in front of us. So we'll talk to Aaron Kate Goode next hour. My quotes of the day today. This one is from Frank Herbert. This was from the Dune series. Quote, all governments suffer a recurring problem. Power attracts pathological personalities. It is not that power corrupts, but that it is magnetic to the corruptible. Corruption and power is kind of a chicken and egg thing to me. I always kind of wonder, but it does take a lot. This is one of the things I'm so proud about identifying myself as a libertarian, because their motto is plotting to take over the world and leave everybody alone. I would love to have a tremendous amount of power in this country as a president or some kind of a leader, just to not exercise it. Now, that'd be the question. Would I be corrupted? And then this is another quote of the day, Ernest Hemingway from For Whom the Bell Tolls, quote, he did not care for the lying at first. He hated it. Then later he had come to like it. It was part of being an insider, but it was a very corrupting business. And that's what it is. I'm sure the lies are a little distasteful up front, but I don't know. I guess you just get used to it. I was watching something local here. I'm not going to get into the personalities. I'm sure you might have seen it, but it's one local politician. His wife's family said he was abusing her. He said he's not. I was just watching these things last night, these two kind of dueling press conferences at different areas. And one of the two parties is just lying through their teeth. And I don't know enough about it, so I'm not going to name anybody. I don't know who's telling the truth. I don't know the backstory of that. It's a he said, she said. I've been through divorce court and seen other friends that have gone through family court stuff before. There are always two stories, but it just struck me. They were both so adamant in their things, I thought, wow, somebody is just stepping up to the mic and just telling a lie with complete conviction, not caring at all. I mean, one of the two parties was really lying. Just a quick update on the Robin Hood stuff I've really been pounding on, because I think it's interesting. They're running out of a little bit of steam, particularly when it comes to GameStop and AMC stocks, as several of those that were the original targets of the short squeeze. So it looks like they may have moved on. I told you yesterday they were targeting silver, but silver is a different beast. It is not like buying a stock. It is much more difficult to force the price of silver to go up. You actually have to increase the price of silver. They've been trying to use an ETF called SLV. But just buying a bunch of shares of SLV does absolutely nothing directly to the price of the shares, because it tracks the price of the commodity. So we'll see. I'm kind of cheering for them. JP Morgan's got a big short silver position. I'd like to see them experience a little bit of pain on that, because they have been manipulating the metals markets for quite some time and paying record fines for doing so, yet they're still in business. But this is a lesson for anybody who got in. If you're following this Robin Hood crowd, just make sure you were not the last one out of the theater. Don't be the last one out. Don't get greedy. If you hear of some big giant stock run up in a stock and you didn't hear about it before it started, don't try to jump in at the last minute and take advantage of it. Well, Mike, it's going to double again. Be careful. Don't be, what do they say? Well, what is the thing? Pigs get slaughtered. I can't believe I can't remember the saying right now, but don't be a greedy pig getting in these things. If you can find one that you get in early and you hit yourself a nice little lick, get in, get out, move on, book your profits, enjoy the ride while it's going on. I saw there were some biotech names I think that they are targeting now, so I don't look at the message board. I haven't been back to Wall Street Bets. It'll be interesting to see. I'm really cheering for this populist financial revolution that's going on in the markets. I hope it keeps going, but as I say, get out in front of those things, but do not be the last one out. There were a lot of people saying, we're going to hold GameStop for forever. This is for the principle of the thing. I'm not here for the profits. And I love that kind of thing. I called them financial kamikazes. And I'm sure there are several of them. But unfortunately, I would imagine when a lot of people are faced with pretty nice little chunk of profits on their stuff and they start seeing it go down, their hands get a little weak. Their principles get a little more mushy. And they might want to book some profits. And as soon as they start doing that, these stocks are going to go right back down to earth. So don't get caught with that. And of course, in a reaction to that, as I spoke about yesterday, my least favorite part of political theater As I said, how many times have conservative and Republican congressmen and senators brought the tech heads, the Silicon Valley royalty, the Mark Zuckerbergs, the Jack Dorseys, the Google guys? How many times have they brought them to testify in front of Congress so that Jim Jordan or one of these guys could get a big, meaty soundbite going to really rally this Republican base around him? And look, Jim Jordan's good, but my point is nothing ever happens. This is political theater. Now, with this, something may happen because I believe that they are going to try to corral the power of the average trading Joe under the guise of trying to protect you, but they're going to do the political theater when it comes to around this. Robinhood CEO Vlad Tenev is expected to testify before the House Financial Services Committee on February 18th as lawmakers probe the company's decision-making to restrict customers from trading GameStop shares last week, sources told Politico. The hearing was later confirmed. I just love this. These people in Congress are so full of themselves. The hearing was later confirmed by a press release from the committee describing the virtual hearing will be entitled, get ready for this, here's the title of the hearing. They're really having some fun with this. They really want you to know they're out there doing something important. Here's the title of the hearing, which I didn't guess I even knew they titled these things. You know, they title these bills with the most ridiculous acronyms. Try to make you feel all warm and fuzzy, you know, the Stop Act or the Patriot Act or whatever it is. You know, the Patriot Act, I can't remember what it is, but I believe it's an entire acronym. So what they did was they just came up with the word Patriot, and they did it like a sixth grader, put it on a chalkboard. P is for protection. A is for, you know, that's what they do. Anyway, they've titled this committee hearing, quote, "Game Stopped?" question mark. Who wins and loses when short sellers, social media, and retail investors collide? This is the title of a hearing. The hearing is scheduled for February 18th at noon Eastern Time. There was just one thing that'll make you a little nauseous, though. I don't know. This may make for some good clips for the radio show. This will be in front of the House Financial Services Committee. Do you know who the chair of the House Financial Services Committee is? Auntie Maxine Waters. House Financial Services Chair Maxine Waters wants to investigate the possible role hedge funds had in influencing Robinhood to restrict trading on GME after the video game retailer soared 15% in a matter of weeks, pulling off the, quote, mother of all short squeezes. So Maxine Waters will get to wave her bony finger of indignation at the CEO of Robinhood. And look, the CEO of Robinhood really has hoodwinked a lot of people. I'm not probably as mad at them for halting trading on this stuff. I think this may have been a little bit out of their hands. It doesn't mean it wasn't some nefarious stuff behind halting this and stopping people from doing it. Apparently, their clearinghouse, this DTCC, I don't have the names of that in front of them, increased their capital requirements tenfold when this trading started happening in GameStop and they started doing these short squeezes. Tenfold. Now, this is the reason, if this is to be true, this is why they've had to go out and secure billions of dollars in investments so that Robinhood didn't go belly up. If you can, you know, imagine something along the lines of you operating just a small business and all of a sudden business starts going well. You know, you run a restaurant and you start get a lot of people and the business is going up. More people are eating, more people are drinking, more people are coming through the door. Everything looks good. And your insurance agent calls you up and goes, "Hey, we're going to need you to get 10 times the amount of insurance that you've got right now." I mean, you can imagine that could be a squeeze on you. Anyway, it's good to know Auntie Maxine will get to the bottom of it. We are going to see some serious grandstanding coming out of this. And the only action that will be taken out of congressional action on what we're seeing in Wall Street right now will be to the detriment. Here is the Mike Madison prediction, nay, guarantee. It will be to the detriment of the individual small guy investor couched in the name of protecting you. I'll be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller, and Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. So I had a caller during the break. We need to start bringing them on air. Do a segment about Robin Hood. He's plugged into the Robin Hood group. I'm reading the articles, but I don't really go to the source. That may be poor reporting on my part, but apparently he's saying that the silver call to buy silver was a head fake because Citadel owns a lot of silver, and they tried to co-opt this group and convince them to buy silver, but the Reddit group, Wall Street Bets, is actually saying, don't buy silver. This is a scam. It's absolutely fascinating stuff. There has never been a time to need the truth more than we need it now, and never has there been a time it has been harder to figure out the truth than there is right now. So this silver call, everyone going to buy silver, I guess would be kind of similar to the people who, you know, kind of poked and prodded Trump supporters to storm into the Capitol. You just need a couple of provocateurs within the group. Be wary of these people. And I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, we're going to develop a level of paranoia at some point where you just, I mean, I guess the rule is don't trust anybody or trust but verify. I don't like being suspicious of every single person. But really, when you start getting into some of these big issues, particularly when there's money involved, boy, you just never know the motives. You know, I report on all these FBI stings where they come in and save the day at the last minute to justify their giant budgets for fighting terrorism, only to find out that it was just some loner nut job who had no support system and no friends and wasn't organized at all and didn't have the means to orchestrate an attack until the FBI shows up and gives him everything he needs and then busts him at the last minute. I mean, that's what this world is. It is just one giant stage production, which I'm about to get into in just a minute when it comes to some COVID stuff. I'm going to recap in a few minutes. I'm going to take a break in a second. I'm going to come back and recap the medical advice. I want us to get a good, concise look at the air quotes here in the studio, the science that we've been told from these people. And what caused me to go back to this topic again. Look, I'm just not interested in impeachment or political. What, Trump's legal team quit and now he's got some new attorneys and impeached? Yeah, yawn. I did see a great headline that just said media ratings are falling through the roof post-Trump, which is really funny to watch. I mean, it is time for Americans. You know, when you look at the numbers of how many people look at mainstream news, it is really small. You know, you may get 5 million people to some of the top-rated shows in primetime or news shows, and maybe across the spectrum at any particular time, 10 to 12 million people out of 200 million adults in the United States. What, they've got 5% of the people are paying attention to mainstream media? I mean, so people are going around them, and I just love the fact, you know, they're going to regret the day they ran Trump out on the rail because it's going to kill their bottom line. Their advertisers are going to look around and go, where'd everybody go? Who are we talking to? Meanwhile, conservative talk radio under a Biden administration, our ratings go through the roof. More people than ever. Our advertisers will be thrilled. The CDC, this is what got me back into COVID. I just yawn at the politics. I'm sorry. CDC has issued a mandate for masks on public transportation everywhere. Can I just stop for just a second? I mean, I'm 53. I've been paying attention to the world pretty heavily for 30 years now. Ugh. That still sticks in my throat a little bit. It's pretty tough to admit either one of those two periods of time. But When and where in the hell did the CDC get all this power to suddenly make laws that are then enforced by men and women with guns on their hips? The CDC. This is the same CDC that not long ago issued a moratorium on evictions. The CDC, not a legislative body, not an elected body, and obviously not very good at their job. I mean, it says it in their title. They're the Centers for Disease Control. In the middle of what they're telling us is this horrific outbreak that they can't seem to get under control. Well, I mean, I'm a simple man, but if the title of your organization is a Center for Disease Control, that's kind of what you're about, right? Looks like you're a massive failure, but somehow they have wielded this new power where they can now mandate face coverings. And if you don't do what the CDC says, men and women with guns. Do you like the fact I'm so equal opportunity? Because I'll be honest with you. I started to just say men and guns will come get you. But I'm not a sexist. I'm throwing the lady cops in there too. Men and women with guns and badges will come at you with a gun and issue a citation. And if you don't pay that citation, you will be put into a cage per the CDC. And they told landlords across the country, you can't evict your tenants, even if they're not paying. Even if your mortgage company is still charging you a mortgage, even if you're going bankrupt, you can't kick your tenant out per the CDC. Now the TSA has joined the act. The TSA is going to be issuing fines for someone if they see your face. Think about this for a second. The TSA, which has spent the last 20 years not only closely examining our faces and bombarding us with facial recognition, they also put us through full body nude scanners, or if you don't like that, they will strip search you and feel up your grandma or your toddler that you're traveling with. Suddenly now they want you to hide behind a mask, and if you don't, they'll give you a fine. It's got to be a glorious day to be a terrorist. They want you to cover your face. And what happens if you don't take the TSA fine? Suddenly the Transportation and Security Administration, now they're issuing fines. I guess they get a little pad. They just rip you off a ticket. Your nose was showing. Here's your ticket. And if you don't pay it, men and women with guns will come get you and they will put you into a tiny cage. Per the TSA. So we got this. So here's the federal gauntlet you have to navigate if you want to go see your grandmother. You got to go through the TSA, the FBI, the CDC, the FAA. Freest country in the world, baby. You just have to get through six or seven huge, monstrous bureaucracies, all with a gun on their hip, just to get onto an airplane and travel freely here in the freest country in the world. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me that you love me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB. Thanks for joining me in today's bizarro headline. Or bizarro news story, or just bizarro action. Tesla announces they've got a recall. It was 136,000 vehicles. But it was real. It was a very targeted recall. It was just the years 2012 through 2018. because the entire control system could shut down. I've never driven a Tesla. I've never driven an electric car. I got to imagine you don't want to lose all your control systems. So probably a good recall. What is the response to that? Tesla stock is up 4%. I wonder if Elon Musk sends like gift baskets to all the people at the Federal Reserve when they have a birthday or, you know, an anniversary. It's probably tough to shop for the Federal Reserve. They were created like on Christmas Eve. So they're in that weird situation where, you know, they're getting all the combo gifts, a birthday and a Christmas gift from people like Elon Musk and the rest of the billionaire class that has just loaded up. They've been right there at the trough of all this new freshly printed money that we are all the collateral for. But I would say in Elon Musk, I mean, I think now he's the richest guy in the world. Hopefully he gives them a birthday and a Christmas gift, and then he should have everybody on the Federal Reserve Board on his birthdays list. I'm sure they're on Facebook. Maybe he gets a reminder and, you know, shoots them $1 million, something along those lines. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Their stock is up 4% on a massive recall. I heard on the news, I was left a little early this morning, but on the way out the door, I heard Hal Holbrook died. Now, I am very quick to check myself, to fully examine the thoughts that I have and see if they make sense. There has been what feels to me like a pretty rapid progression of some of our more prominent seniors passing away recently. Hank Aaron, Tommy Lasorda, Larry King, Cloris Leachman, Tanya Roberts. I think I'm forgetting a couple. Now, Hal Holbrook dies. Now, I was not paying attention in January of 2020 to all of the announcements. They didn't stick out. I'm sure I heard every single older Hollywood celebrity or news personality who passed away in January of 2020, but I wasn't really paying attention. But in the day of this new vaccine, I'm paying attention. This may be normal for a year's headlines. I should go back and look, you know, celebrity deaths, January 2020, and see how many there were. I would probably find it's the same thing. I'm just saying. They're looking at this vaccine across the board, and you know, I've reported on these things, the nursing home in New York, the pause with the vaccines in Norway. They were talking to Anthony Fauci about some of these senior deaths after getting the vaccination. And, you know, Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, commented that the deaths have to be, quote, listen to this. This is almost a laugh riot. Almost. If he didn't have so much power. He commented that the deaths, again, this is the deaths when people ask about the vaccine and senior deaths. He said, he commented that the deaths have to be, quote, put into context within the population they occurred in, unquote. What does that mean? That means, and this is Anthony Fauci is telling us, hey, look, you got to put it in context. I mean, these are old people. Old people die. Well, isn't that interesting? Because for the last 10 months, every time an old person died, if they had tested positive for COVID, it was a cause for great concern. I mean, has anybody noticed? We shut down the entire economy. We have turned over our children's lives because senior citizens have died from COVID-19. We didn't put that into the context in which the population that they occur in. Says his story says, in other words, they were old and old people die. This is hypocrisy at its finest. When seniors die before vaccination, it's due to COVID-19 and something must be done to prevent it. But when they die after vaccination, they die of natural causes and no preventative action is necessary. They don't need to pause the vaccinations. They don't need to study them for more than just a couple of months. They don't need to do anything. You just need to consider the fact these are old people and they die. But if they die of COVID, you got to shut the schools. You got to shut down the bars. You got to take out every other table. You got to have your occupancy capped at 25%. And in California, they're not allowing restaurant and bar owners to use their televisions on Super Bowl Sunday. They don't want it to become Super Bowl Super Spreader Sunday. Oh, they were so clever with that one. Oh, I don't know who was the first thought of that in one of these busybody organizations, but they've been sitting on that for weeks. Well, I can't wait till it's Super Bowl week and I can start using the term Super Bowl Super Spreader.
That'll resonate. I'll get headlines everywhere. They were champing at the bit to do that. Here's the vaccine guidance as I've heard it, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. See, we are told to trust the science, right? If you question anything, then you are a science denier. If you don't wear a mask, you're just wrestling with science. You're a heretic, an ignoramus, because the science is settled. Same thing with the vaccine. What's with all this vaccine hesitancy? Thomas Dobbs was out the other day with a group of African-American pastors trying to build trust, to remove the hesitancy in these vaccines, because Thomas Dobbs will say that science is in. These things are perfectly safe, and they're extremely effective. Now, science is always being questioned, but we're not supposed to question science anymore. This is a new thing, a new part of the scientific method. I'd have to actually look at the steps of the scientific method. I had them memorized back in high school. But they've changed some of them. I think maybe after the, you know, put forward a hypothesis, and then, you know, the progression, it was like then test the hypothesis and then challenge it and all that stuff. Now it's just put forward a hypothesis. And number two is ridicule anybody who questions your hypothesis and call them anti-science. I guess that's the new scientific method we have now. But here is the here's the path the vaccine science has taken, as I've done it. We did it in rapid time. It's a medical miracle. This is coming from the mouths of the people who tell us that they know all. After 2 months of testing only on healthy people, we were told it was completely safe and effective. Again, they said it was effective after only 2 months, but anyway. Then they told us the vaccine would get us back to normal. Then that shifted to the vaccine would get us back to some semblance of normal. And then that went to, even with the vaccine, you'll still have to wear a mask and socially distance. Now, with this vaccine, they're very sure. Well, no, they're not sure. Matter of fact, they have no idea. They're not sure if you can still get COVID. And if you do get COVID with the vaccine, they're not sure if you can still spread COVID. But it turns out you can still get COVID as a new congressman. There's a report out about a congressman who got vaccinated, still got it. And he has been quarantined because they don't know, but they're pretty sure they think that you might be able to still spread the COVID after the vaccine. So you still have to social distance and wear a mask. So no new normal. Now, they told us you're going to need 2 shots. They're going to come 2 weeks apart. Then the delays came in. Because you know why? Because the government was behind the rollout. And the government never does anything well. So when the second shots got delayed, or they started running short, or they lost track of shots, how many packages is UPS tracking today? A billion? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that may be an exaggeration, but they ship a lot. They know where every single one of them are. I'm sure there are laptops and desktops all over a UPS operation where they can tell you, you can call them and say, hey, this is Sam. I sent a kitty cat cookie jar to my Aunt Edna. Can you tell me where it is? Oh, yeah, right now it's flying over Iowa. I mean, they know exactly where it is. The government gets the vaccines, which is supposed to be this miracle substance. They can't really. We don't know how many we have. We don't know where they are. We don't know when they're coming. So originally they told you, here's the deal. We're going to get you one and make sure you show up. Mark the date on your calendar. You've got to be back in 2 weeks. Then they ran into some problems. They went, well, the 2 weeks was just kind of a, that was fun for us, but 3 weeks is fine. 4 weeks, you get some good protection off the first shot. Originally they told us the first shot's not much protection. You've got to get that second one. And now they say, well, maybe the second one's, wait, you might not even need it. And they said, yeah, but be sure, whatever you do, be sure you get the same vaccine. If you come in and you get the Pfizer vaccine, be back in 2 weeks and get the Pfizer vaccine. Do you understand us? Now, because of all the chaos, they go, well, you know, Pfizer first, Moderna second, AstraZeneca third, then maybe circle back to a Pfizer, then get your Moderna booster. I mean, it's just whatever now. So now you can mix and match. And the first 2 shots were supposed to be good, and now they need a booster. And this is the same thing with masks. It's to the point of being comical to me. I'll play you a couple of Anthony Fauci things on the masks now. I mean, within the last week, he's done a 180-degree turn. He will make another 180-degree turn. That will be a full 360, and he'll be back to the races on the double masking, triple masking. And we had one nut job out there that is recommending, at this point, quadruple masking. For the variant. This is the funny thing to me, too, the variant. Now, I have yet to hear that if the variant is a different particle size, I mean, it may affect the body different, you know, different diseases, different viruses do different things. But what exactly is the difference between the efficacy of a mask with a virus? I mean, is COVID-19 kind of a big, chunky, overweight virus? Kind of tough for it to navigate a mask, but they've got the new sleek, sexy, slender variants that can get through those one, two, or three masks. Now we need a quad mask. This stuff parading as science is absolutely ridiculous. We'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
You know, today is Groundhog Day, and Punxsutawney Phil came out and saw his shadow. And this vile rodent tells us we got six more weeks of winter. I reject him, but I will tell you, I will submit to you, that Punxsutawney Phil is probably just as accurate a scientist as Anthony Fauci is at this point. I mean, I think the science is kind of the same. Kind of the same vein, right? It's just, I don't know, groundhog comes out, sees its shadow. What, you got a 50-50 chance of maybe getting it right? I guess when you get a time frame like that, yeah, I mean, you know. Anthony Fauci is our little scientific groundhog just go out and making pronouncements. So they're talking about the masks. You know, I talk about insanity. I saw a commercial. I think it was for Match.com. It's for a dating site. It was these beautiful young adults. You ever seen Match.com commercials? you think we were the most beautiful country that ever existed on planet Earth. I mean, they're all these beautiful singles are out there. They're having relationships by Zoom now, a Zoom call. This is somehow presented as normal, and it was presented as a tad bit heroic. Did you start these new... these new Zoom relationships. This is dating in 2021, 2020. And I'm sure they've been getting crushed because media scared us to go out and meet anybody new because we're all potential parasites. It is neither normal nor heroic to be having relationships by Zoom. But I got to tell you, you get somebody, that's a good way to get yourself into a weird situation. You don't see anybody from the neck down. You start a big relationship with them. Get ready for some surprises. But here's Anthony Fauci on the masks. You know, the common sense of double and triple masking.
So if you have a physical covering with one layer, you put another layer on, it just makes common sense likely would be more effective. And that's the reason why you see people either double masking or doing a version of an N95.
So there you go. It just makes common sense is what he says. This is new. This is about, 7 to 10 days old, the double masking. We have had the triple masking. If you watch the news shows in the morning, the more layers, the better. I mean, I got to tell you, I think cellophane firmly around the entire face, you're not going to get any virus. Let me just put it this way. There's suspicion they can get in through the eyes. I think if you fully wrap your head in cellophane, now the air holes... That's a problem. You're going to run into other problems, but you will be safe from this one specific, and especially this new leaner, meaner variant that we've got. But Anthony Fauci now again, within 1 week, on the double masking.
There are many people who feel, you know, if you really want to have an extra little bit of protection, maybe I should put two masks on. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's no data that indicates that that is going to make a difference. And that's the reason why the CDC has not changed the recommendations.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can do that. But there's no recommendation. There's no data. There's no science behind any of this. I don't really know why he's bothered. And this is, again, the same guy who told us back in March, nobody needs to wear a mask. He actually said, I couldn't find the clip. Isn't that strange? Isn't that weird? I went to YouTube last night. I will admit, I dropped the ball. I forgot to go back this morning. I'm sure I could find it somewhere if I hunted enough. But I went into YouTube for the clip that I saw just a couple of months ago of Anthony Fauci saying on 60 Minutes, I think it was 60 Minutes, no, nobody needs to be wearing a mask. I mean, if you want to put one on, if it makes you feel better, but you're really not doing yourself any good. That's a slight paraphrase, but pretty darn close to the truth. Isn't that interesting? I can't find that on YouTube now. Because I know the last few times I looked on YouTube, it popped right up. Anthony Fauci, do a search. Anthony Fauci's masks aren't necessary. Masks don't work. Something along those lines. Boom. There was the clip for the longest time. Boom. It's gone. Memory hold. So Anthony Fauci has gone from no mask to yes mask to two masks to three masks to additional layers don't really matter. And again, we look at all of the places that have had mask mandates versus the ones that have not had mask mandates, and there is no difference except for the slight improvement in the areas where they say no masks or masks are not mandated, where they actually do something. You may have read about this in history books. I know history classes are not probably not as good as they used to be. You know how schools become, education's become in this country. There was a thing. It swept the land. It was 1700s, 1800s. It was this. It was called freedom. And there weren't a bunch of agencies. People kind of lived their own lives. They settled lands. They risked their lives to really stake their claim. I mean, there was all kinds of real. I mean, you really have to get into a history book to remember this. But people just went about their lives and made all their own choices. It was a crazy time. It built a fantastic nation. You would think we would keep something like that up, but you go back and read about it. It was called Freedom. It's FREEDOM. You can look up, you can do internet searches. You know, I don't use the G word because I don't like that company, but you can go do things for things like personal responsibility. Those are two regular words. You should be able to spell those. You can look and see, you know, personal responsibility, individual freedom in the United States. I'm not sure. Maybe it'll give you some kind of a time frame, like a birth date, end date type thing, but it's certainly not here in modern times. Anyway, it is Groundhog Day when it comes to Anthony Fauci and his endless preaching of nonsense and non-science based on non-data and just guesses. When we come back, we're going to talk to Aaron Kate Good from the Center for Pregnancy Choices. So please stay with us for that. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I appreciate you joining us today. Today, we've got a couple of guests in the studio with us. We've got Aaron Kate Good and Anya Baker from the Center for Pregnancy Choices. Thank you all both for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Yeah, we just wanted to hear a little bit about you. I have talked. Let me get you to pull that mic towards you just a tiny bit and just okay. There we go. I've been looking at one of the reasons I'm glad to have you in. We were talking about this on air. We've got to start looking for local stuff. You know, everybody's waiting and has been waiting for so long for legislation to come in and fix something at the state level, at the federal level, and particularly when it comes to people who are pro-life. I think it's so important for people to understand that there are people out there being very effective in it right now, not with any political movement, not with anything, just going out there and being actually in the arena and helping things. So tell us a little bit about your organization.
We were founded in 1988 in response to the abortion crisis in our community. And we started out just some people on the sidewalks offering help and hope outside of abortion facilities, and then moved into having a resource center, and then moved into having medical clinics. And so now we have two medical clinics in the Jackson area where we do free sonograms, free pregnancy tests. We offer decision counseling, so she hears about all three choices, abortion, adoption, and parenting. And then she's able to connect with the resources, vast resources in our community that can help her. No matter what she chooses, if she chooses adoption, we'll partner with local adoption agencies so that she can get the ongoing support from those agencies that she needs. If she chooses abortion, we actually invite her back for abortion recovery services so that we believe abortion is a trauma and she needs healing from that, so she comes back for that. And then, of course, if she chooses to parent, we connect her to resources in our community as well as local church partners who are willing to walk alongside her throughout, beyond just the pregnancy, but as a parent, and so that she will not be in a cycle over and over again,
right,
of unplanned pregnancy, so that she has the resources she needs to make better choices and just have a support system around her.
Yeah, so that's pretty much nuts to bolts. You pretty much cover it all. How do people generally find you? I mean, how do you get out? You have a lot of, say, church partners. Is that one of the big drivers of letting people know if there's a crisis pregnancy?
Well, honestly, our most women find us through Google. So we use digital marketing just like everybody else these days. If you're looking for help, everybody Googles. And so women who are facing unplanned pregnancies, they don't normally go to their church. A lot of them don't even tell their parents or tell the father of the child. They immediately go to Google looking for abortion services. So if you Google abortion, our ads show up, and that's how most of our patients come to us, is just through Google ads.
Yeah, and you have two clinics here locally, and where are they?
One off of 55 North, off of Bound Street, and then the other one is right across from the abortion clinic in Fondren, right under the new Cobbs Cleaners.
Right. And how long have those clinics been open?
Since we opened in 1988. And so we've moved different offices. The one on Bound Street's probably been there 15 years maybe. And then the one in Fondren we opened in 2017.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so a while. Well, so when did y'all start actually getting involved? And, you know, you said first you were just kind of walking around, handing out pamphlets and things like that. When did that start?
1988 is when we were founded, and then I'm not sure exactly when the first building was built that or started using as a resource center. It used to be just counselors would sit down with the patients and show them the fetal development cycle with books.
Right.
And then,
books.
Yeah, I remember those. And then women started really, the pregnancy center movement as a whole realized that what women really needed is the medical services. And so I think it was the early 2000s that we became a medical clinic and started offering the sonogram, which has just been a game changer, obviously, because the women can see the child in the womb. And
right.
That's a big connection point for them.
Right. So how did all that take root? Funding and stuff? People just started getting involved with your organization? You started raising money? Because what you're describing sounds expensive.
It is expensive. It is expensive. We are fortunate, since we've been here so long, to have a large number of partners in our community. But we do not take any government funds. So it is all individuals. A lot of churches in the metro area support us. And then some businesses.
Yeah. And that's probably the main reason that I wanted to have y'all in today, not just because you do great things, but this is just another one of those things showing that, you know, people can do these things themselves. They don't have to sit around and do it. Any ideas of how many women that you have actually helped? And is this a national organization?
We are not a national. There are pregnancy centers all across the country, but we're not connected. We have some groups that we're affiliated with nationally: Heartbeat International, CareNet, and NIFLA are the three big overarching pregnancy center groups. But we're not a chain.
So you are just part of these two clinics here are pretty much self-sustaining, yes. And y'all are responsible for fundraising just for them.
Yes, and we've actually served 24,000 women
Holy
in our
cow.
Area since we opened in 1988.
Yeah, wow! I bet you've seen some life-changing stories go through there, and I mean, a lot of people. Your heart does break for young girls who are scared like that, particularly when you talk about that they don't go to their church and they don't go to their parents, and they, you know, somebody being that lost and having somebody to go to where they can take it. So are you confidential once they come in with you?
Absolutely. We're HIPAA compliant, just like every medical clinic.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So a girl finds herself in crisis. She does an internet search. What's her first interaction with your group? She gives you a call or?
She'll either click on and ask for us to call her back or text to call, make an appointment. That we have a call center, so we have trained people answering the phones. And really, a lot of women call us wanting an abortion, and obviously we don't do abortions, so we have to just educate her on what we can do. And mainly our purpose is just for her to be able to make a completely informed decision. A lot of people think pregnancy centers are there just to talk people out of abortions, and that's not what we do. We want her to have all the information that she needs to make an informed decision. So we're going to educate her on everything. She needs to know how far along she is. That determines what abortion procedure she's going to have. So we can tell her, we can give you that information for free. We can measure the child in your womb, have a radiologist read that sonogram, and you can get that information for free before you ever have to even spend a dollar at the abortion clinic. So letting her know why she would even need to stop by pregnancy centers.
Right. Is that sonogram, is that where a lot of the change happens? You say that's kind of the important thing when you see that. It kind of changes the context of what's going on?
It does. Now people have gotten, I mean, over the years, beginning when sonograms were new, it was, you know, a light bulb for everyone to see that child. Now we are getting a little, women are getting not hardened to the child in the womb. They've seen them. They've seen
right.
sonogram images. So it's not just that. It's not like, oh, I didn't know it was alive. A lot of women know it's alive, and they know it's a human being, but the situation they're in is so much stronger than that, you know. And so what also makes the big difference for us is the partnerships with our community when she leaves the clinic, when we can say, there's a church here down the road from where you live that's willing to offer support to you, offer a support group, help you get connected to doctors, and give you a baby shower. You know, when we can actually point her to a community that's going to walk with her and that's going to care for her, that actually makes the difference of her choosing life.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, you know, that's a big argument on the other side. People, the complaint is, well, you're very pro-life, but you don't consider what if this girl has the baby, who's going to be there for them? But that's one of the things you do. How long do you continue to kind of walk with them? As long as they need you?
As long as they need us. That's what we really, at the CBC, we strongly believe we can end abortion in our community if we can connect every woman who's considering abortion with the vast resources of the church and the pro-life community in our area. And we're proving that there are plenty of resources for women. And so we can end that demand for abortion. We're going to close that abortion clinic down. And so, we absolutely see women who are getting connected into the church just for the parenting class initially, but then they come back for another small group, and they're part of that church community.
Yeah, well, that is so different than just a message that says, hey, just don't do this, we don't approve of this, don't do it, and then just, you know, moving on. That support after the fact is certainly important. How easy or tedious is adoption in Mississippi? I mean, you hear stories, I don't pay a lot of attention to it, but it sounds like there's a lot of hurdles, it's tough to qualify, you got to wait for a long time, but at the same time, a layperson like myself looks around and goes, there've got to be a lot of kids who need adopting. Seems like that match does not happen as easy as it should.
Well, adoption is one of those things. We've got a lot of misconceptions about adoption. And so we really work hard to educate women who are considering adoption on what adoption really looks like. There are definitely a lot of hurdles if you are looking to adopt a child. But for a woman who is considering placing her child, there aren't as many obstacles. It's free for her. You know, people hear adoption is so expensive. We actually have patients come in and say, I couldn't give, they say, give up my child. We don't like to use that language to say, place our child, make an adoption plan. But they say, I can't afford it. Well, it's free for them. Women who are considering placing their children actually get to choose what family, you know, who they place their child with. Yes. They also get to choose whether it's an open or closed adoption, whether they're going to, you know, be able to get letters or pictures or have any kind of communication, or if they want to have no communication at all. But there's been so many, and used to be, you know, a long time ago, you did just kind of blindly, you place your child for adoption and you never,
just walk away.
You didn't know anything. Yeah. You didn't know where they, you know, you, that's why you hear so many people searching for their birth parents. But it's not like that anymore. And so we've kind of got a lot of just trying to battle these misconceptions about adoption. It is, unfortunately, it's much harder on the other, on the side of wanting to adopt children. If you're looking for children to adopt, then that is harder.
Well, why is that? I mean, I understand some level of due diligence to make sure that you're not placing children in dangerous homes or unsuited homes, but I mean, isn't there a demand? I mean, isn't there, there are children who need adopting, aren't there? It seems like that is just one of the easiest matchups. Are there plenty of people looking to adopt children? Is that an issue at all?
There are absolutely plenty of people looking to adopt children. I don't think there are as many women who are willing to place their children for adoption. And the reason this is something a lot of people don't know is that women who are considering abortion, like I said, they haven't necessarily told their family or told their friends or the boyfriend. And so there are really a lot of trying to get rid of the, I say get rid of the pregnancy. They don't, the social pressure of if they decide to choose adoption, then they're going to have to.
Full term.
They're going to go full term. Everybody's going to know they're pregnant. And so all those obstacles that they're trying to avoid, they're hoping to avoid, they're going to have to face them all. And so adoption's not as attractive, you know, for a woman who's considering abortion or has an unplanned pregnancy because she has to go through that pregnancy. And I know that sounds, it may sound trivial, but for a woman who's considering abortion, that's a big hurdle of all those social pressures. And
well, that's got to be a lot of counseling involved in that. You know, it's so much, it's so different when you get to be older. You know, you look back and you just realize how heroic that is, because it is somebody setting their lives aside, changing the entire way they live.
Yes.
Like you say, admitting to everybody that they know that they've done something that maybe they wish hadn't happened or whatever, altering everything, but then delivering a healthy child to a loving couple in case of adoption or raising it. That's a truly heroic thing to do. But when I was 18, 19 years old, that would have been hard to convince me of.
It's hard. And unfortunately, I mean, adoption agencies, definitely our local adoption agencies like Lifeline have done an excellent job of celebrating the birth moms. But in our culture, and my children are adopted, so I don't want to step on toes of people who've adopted children, but we celebrate people who adopt children, and we don't really celebrate birth moms. You don't hear a lot of hero stories about birth moms.
Yeah.
And so, and a lot of, you really think, well, what was wrong with that person who gave up her child? That's kind of what the culture you automatically think is, well, was she on drugs, or was she, you know, unfit to be a mother? And so we don't really honor women who make that choice to place their children for adoption.
That's interesting. That's very, very true. Yeah, you hear about adoptive parents all the time, and yeah, that's very, and particularly, you know, to have stories of people that changed their minds, that decided to be, that is incredibly selfless to give up everything you know, particularly as a young person, to deliver a child. That's really huge. That should be.
It should be
more.
Celebrated and it should be heroic, but we don't have a lot of people to point to in the culture, you know, especially these women that we're talking to. They don't know anybody who's done that, who's placed a child for adoption and who's been honored and recognized as a, you know, that was a brave choice and that was a sacrificial thing you did, but it was definitely worth it. And we don't hear about that very much.
Right. Well, I guess that's something we should be working on changing.
And I think a lot of people picture that most of the time that we're talking about a teenager, and actually the majority of our patients are between the ages of 20 and 24.
That's right.
Oh, really?
College age, young professionals trying to get to their career. And we do see teenagers, but it's not the majority.
Well, and that's another thing too, career. I mean, you know, you're putting off when you're starting out as an adult, try to put off your career and change everything to see a pregnancy through in your early 20s is tough too. So, you know, I'm sure that's a hurdle too. That's interesting, though. I'm glad you mentioned that age frame. Okay. Well, we're talking to Anya Baker and Erin Kate Goode from Center for Pregnancy Choices, CPC. We'll be right back with them. Stay with us.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
We are back. We're talking to Erin Kate Goode and Anya Baker with the Center for Pregnancy Choices. Is it choice or choices?
Choices.
I thought so. I thought it was kind of cutting my S's there. I wanted to know how people support you. Again, this in my show, the way this fits in, number one, the pro-life issue, but number two, communities taking control, not relying on the government to do these things. We were just talking off air about the foster system and adoption. It's, you know, that's what when you get the government involved, all of a sudden there's all these different hurdles and things you've got to go through. Some of them necessary and probably good protections for children, and some just tediousness. But you work as just a charity or a 501c3 or however it's categorized. Tell us how people support your organization, how you can do as much as you do with this full. I mean, you are start to finish. I mean, you are with these women to give them every single thing they need during and after their pregnancy.
Right. We are. We have, of course, we have just volunteers in our clinic who come in week after week after week and are trained. You know, this is a medical clinic, which is, you know, a little bit, it's not the kind of place you just pop in and volunteer for the most part. You do have to learn how to care for these women. But we have.
So are you operating almost like a nurse in that situation? Or, I mean, so you're like real training? Like,
yes. So we have a medical director, Dr. Greg Vance. He's our OBGYN who is not paid to be our medical director. And so all of our nurses they follow his orders, you know, like just like any other medical clinic. But we have nurses on staff, and then we have volunteer nurses, and they can do, we have training for them to be able to do sonograms, and then they do a medical history with every patient, so they get a private medical consultation. At that point, they're able to talk about the birth control they may or may not be using. They're able to talk about STDs. That's another huge thing that impacts, you know, there's a lot of STDs around here, but also if you have an abortion and you have the particular STDs that you may have, if you get an abortion, that actually can cause further complications. So they need to know whether or not they have STDs. So there's lots of things that nurses can do in our clinic. And then we have what we call advocates or decision counselors, who are just lay people who are trained to go over all of the options with each patient, with, like we said, abortion, adoption, and parenting. And then they can fill in the gaps of what, you know, what information that the patient doesn't have or what resources she doesn't have. She needs a referral for housing. If she's been abused and needs domestic violence, you know, help with that.
Yeah.
We also partner with the NET, which is a network, as a nonprofit counseling agency. So they can get ongoing free counseling. They come back to our office, a NET counselor will be there and we'll do ongoing counseling.
That's
with
them. In-house at one of your clinics?
We're a site for the NET. And that's free counseling. We also have a pharmacy. Parkway Pharmacy in Clinton donates prenatal vitamins for all of our patients. We have two local radiologists who read our sonograms for free. And then what else am I missing, Anya?
Well, everything from our HVAC system to the furniture in our lobby to our sonogram machines. There are national and local groups who have helped with all of that. So we have people who say, I don't have the time to come in during the middle of the week. I have a job, or maybe this isn't the season for them to be a monthly donor. But they have a business. They can give us fill in the blank, get really creative. And that, I know econ nerds like us like to talk about spontaneous order. It's the perfect spontaneous order story.
Yeah. People donate just things that these girls might need too.
Yeah. Diapers. We have diapers and wipes. And then we'll do we mostly try to get local churches to house a bunch of the big items. We don't have enough room for a bunch of car seats, but churches that are doing the parenting classes where our girls go, they can have a supply room or support a room where they have the different like clothes and that sort of thing. And then they also throw the big baby showers because a lot of women want, you know, they deserve new stuff too.
And I would imagine too, the financial hurdle of carrying a pregnancy and raising a child. I mean, that's got to be, there's the social stigma, there's the inconvenience, but the financial is just a huge side of it. And giving somebody a running start, I mean, I've had kids. We've all had kids. We know how expensive they are. And that's just got to be an absolute huge. If you can take that off of somebody and let them know that you're going to support them at the beginning and ongoing, that's huge.
Well, and even something I'm getting really excited about with our support groups from our partner churches is that we are having seminars for women who opt into support group classes where we bring in our volunteers who are lactation consultants, infant care pediatricians, doulas, labor and delivery nurses, and they do a day of educating where the hospitals aren't doing them right now because of COVID. We're able to, in a small, safe setting, do that education. And our stats on outcomes for our moms are better than the average Mississippian for things like breastfeeding.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that saves a lot of money long term.
Yeah. Oh, well, good. Yeah. Okay, so I kind of interrupted you because I started to think. So people will donate anything that to get a family started.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, we really do. We want the whole – well, we believe, we know that there is enough. Absolutely. People have actually asked me, is there really enough support for women who are facing unplanned pregnancy? Yes, there's absolutely enough support and there's enough help in this community. What our job is, and it's, we're kind of getting a clearer picture now, even through COVID, we had more churches. This is kind of incredible. More churches sign up to do parenting classes and support groups last year than we did the year before. We went from having two churches in our area to having eight this year.
Well, good for them. And they did the classes and stuff during COVID?
Yes.
Good for them.
Yes. And so,
see, those are the kinds of services this past year has closed down in a lot of different things, AA meetings and those kinds of things. You just can't do that. I mean, you've got to keep going.
Right. And even, I mean, some of them have met through Zoom, but most of them have said, you know what, even though they're not even having Sunday school in their church or life group or whatever, they're letting these groups meet just because it's a small number of women and they know how important it is right now. You can't hold off. They're going to have this baby. They're facing an unplanned pregnancy. They need help right now. And churches have prioritized that right now.
Yeah. Well, good for them. Good for them. We need to take a quick, can y'all stick around for just one more segment?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Anya Baker and Aaron Kate Good from the Center for Pregnancy Choices. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're talking to Aaron Kate Gu, the Executive Director for Center for Pregnancy Choices, and Anya Baker. Anya, what do you do there? What is your position?
I'm a Director of Community Relations, and so I'm recruiter of churches, recruiter of supporters and volunteers. I'll come speak to your group alongside Aaron Kate or find the way to plug you in, whichever way that may be.
So when did you start with them?
I started 2.5-3 years ago, but I have been in the movement, as you know, the pro-life movement, over a decade now, and just started as a little high school volunteer, couldn't drive, and worked my way through internships and studied business and came back to this work full time. So
are you part of the reason that you've got more churches involved in 2020, even in the face of COVID? Were you out there recruiting these churches?
I'll have to give that credit to our colleague, Betty. she has a sweet spot for knowing how to talk to churches. She's our community relations coordinator, and her mission is starting support groups.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Okay, so we talked a little bit about how people can support you. They can volunteer. They can come in to get trained. They can volunteer. They can donate things that would help a young girl get through a pregnancy and out into the real world with her child. Do you accept money?
Absolutely.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
So how can people donate to you?
Well, you can go online through our website at cpcmetrofriends.org and just donate. We, like a lot of businesses, we particularly love monthly gifts. We love ongoing support.
That because you know is coming in each and every month.
We can budget that way when we know how many. We call our monthly donors our life champions. They're our closest friends. We have their bank account number, so we're like family. That's our biggest need, just $50 a month just for Life Champions. We also have a walk. We have two fundraisers a year. That's been a little different with COVID, but we're looking forward to our life walk. It's going to be on May 1st, and people can...
All signs are go on that for this year?
We hope so. We're planning like it's going to be a regular in-person event last year.
Outdoors.
Outdoors, in the sunshine, in the spring. Right. You should go for it. Don't let them... I won't say anything. Don't let them stop you.
So we have teams of walkers from churches across the city. We had 65 churches committed last year. We had to go virtual, so several churches had to cut back. But this is where you can go and see all the churches in our community that are there, and the thousands of people that represents who are here to walk with women who are facing unplanned pregnancy and all the support that's available. So you want your church to be there to be a part. Each church has walkers, and each walker raises support from their friends and family.
Yeah, and I would imagine you have support from some of the women that you've worked with over the years, and they come out with their children. And
yeah, they'll be there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. And you said, so in your clinics, I asked you earlier if you were part of a bigger national group. You're kind of plugged into a network, but you were yourself, and you said 24,000 women just through your organization here.
Yes.
That is pretty impressive. And how many a week is that generally would you see these days?
Oh, how many a week? I don't even
know. Between 5 and 20.
Yeah,
it depends.
Yeah, it's been up and down with COVID, the numbers. But
Well, that's actually a question I have that I was going to ask you. How has COVID affected things? It's been such a strange year of locking people together, but then I'm seeing that we're having less children these days. Yeah. What's happened?
Yeah, so I know it's been very interesting. Well, we know in Jackson there are about 60 abortions happening every week, and that number has been increasing. In 2017, it was 50 abortions a week. 2018, it was 60. Actually, 2019, the number is 61 per week. But we know nationally, like you said, people are having less children or fewer children. And what they don't say is they're also increasing their birth control, and abortion is obviously used as a birth control. And so wherever women don't feel safe, wherever there's uncertainty, wherever there's, big things happening that make people not want to have children, that's when the abortion business thrives.
Yeah, economic uncertainty, recessions, things like that, when they don't have jobs. I mean, that certainly makes sense.
Right. So we know that abortions have been increasing in 2020. I don't know what that number is going to look like. We have to wait until probably 22 to find out. Yeah. But
our call volume went up over 30% for our call center. So we know
during
at least
2020?
During 2020.
Was it more towards the end of 2020 as you started to see more pregnancies from earlier in the year? Or?
It actually spiked right at the beginning of COVID. It went up, and then it's gone up and down and up and down. But normally, and we at the very beginning of COVID, we were saying, normally after spring break, we see, as you would imagine, an increase. So we did see an increase when spring break extended and extended and extended for so many people. But definitely we know the numbers are up.
Are there resources for people if they decide to have a child? Now, I know that if you made me think of it when you talk about a recession, people don't have jobs, but they say, well, we want to go ahead and, take this child to term. We want to raise this child. Is there anything outside of public assistance, welfare and food stamps and things like that? But are there organizations that kind of help support people going forward? You know what I mean? I mean, private groups that might, if somebody decides to, you know, keep a child and raise it, that on top of the other things, or even if they were able to find employment, but they get any kind of financial help from people going forward?
There are different places that we can refer for like if there's a bill that needs to be paid. I don't know about ongoing regular support for women or for families who choose life that isn't government money. We're able to, when a need comes up, a very specific need, we're able to help them find funding.
Yeah.
If our clinic staff were here, they would tell you a laundry list of places they refer for specific needs that help with resumes, that help with interviews and jobs and fatherhood. We have the easy part of not doing all the referrals, but I know they have pages and pages of them.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I did some work with the contact crisis line. Mm-hmm. I was just amazed that there really is something out there for just about everybody that nobody knows about. I mean, it's too complex if you're not familiar with it, and it's overwhelming. But with somebody trained who can point you right to the right program, I mean, it exists.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You mentioned one thing, and then we're going to get to how to get in contact with you. But fathers, what do you do with the fathers? Because I'm sure there's, you know, when there's a scared younger girl that didn't plan on getting pregnant, there's also a scared younger guy typically that didn't plan on being a daddy. So do y'all do things for them too?
Absolutely. The fathers, we're working on that. We're always working on that about, you know, the best way to connect these guys with men who want to help them thrive as fathers. You know, there's a fatherlessness problem, huge thing.
And, you know, that's part of fixing that problem, too. Yeah. I mean, if there was more of a culture of marriage and teamwork and that stuff, rather than, oh, look at that, you got pregnant. You know, you're on your own. Don't expect anybody else. You know, that fatherlessness problem certainly gets down to your...
We've got, you know, men who've been told for many, many years now, it's her body, her choice. Her body, her choice. And so they're told they don't have a voice in it. And even though when our counselors in our office will tell you, most of the women want the man to step up and say, I'll be here with you. We're going to do this together. We're going to walk in this together. But these guys, they've been told, you know, back off, let her. And they've been told to say, whatever you do, I'll support you, you know, and which isn't really the same thing as I'm going to help you. You know, I'm going to be with you. We're going to walk this. I'm going to step up. They want her. They want the men to step in and not take charge, but to, you
women
know, walk it with them. Yeah,
don't, you know, want to be told whatever you want to do.
Whatever you want to do. But but also the guys, you know, they haven't had a good example of a father in their lives, and so we are working hard to connect these guys with men who will say, if you did have a dad, or if you. And, you know, imagine, you know, you had the perfect dad in your life. What would that look like? And how can we make that be the reality for your child? Like, how can we impact your future generation so that you are that dad? You're the guy who was there. And we have men in our volunteers who serve now just very late recently who are able, if a guy comes in with a girl, they can get on and they can do the telehealth appointment with a counselor who's a male, and they can talk through just, you know, let's talk through this pregnancy, just talk and see what questions they have. And then in these partnering churches, we have men who are able, when the women are doing the support groups, who are able to meet with the men and just kind of just visit with them and see what questions they have and hopefully mentor them. But we're working on that. It's difficult because a woman's the one who needs the medical services, and not every guy.
It's focused on her.
Sure.
Yeah. How often does the man come in with them? Is it very, very rare?
No, it's less than half the time, I would say. But no, it's not.
It's getting there. So you're going to run and start. Yeah, that. I don't know. Culturally, that is one way we have really slipped down, and you just see it across our society. It doesn't matter what segment of it. This idea that the family unit is not important, that it's not better to be intact, that's causing us a lot of problems.
Absolutely. And I'd like to add that we have post-abortive support groups for men as well. If men would like to meet with other men and they've had abortion in their past 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago or last week, we can partner them with a completely confidential group that even we don't know who's meeting.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell us, it sounds like y'all are got just a ton of services out there that I know people could use. So tell us how to reach you, phone numbers, websites, and all that good stuff.
So our phone number is 601-487-1063. That's the best way to reach us. And then our website is cpcmetrofriends.org.
cpcmetrofriends.org. Mm-hmm. And they can also donate there. They can sign up to volunteer there. They can, if they want to donate things, products and stuff to you, they can donate that too.
We're on Facebook too.
Of course. Okay. All right. Anything else in closing? And you said you got a walk coming up. That's your big fundraiser. So is that on the website?
It is.
Okay.
Sure
is. May 1st, Flowood Nature Park. Ask us how to get involved. Email us, call us.
Okay. Good deal. Anything else?
That's all.
Well, great. Well, it's so nice to have you in. You're doing great things. You're helping a lot of people. 24,000 women have benefited from your services. Countless numbers of children out there that certainly owe a lot to you. So keep up the good work, and hopefully people will support you.
Thank you.
All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All night with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, final segment for the day. I tell you what, it's interesting. I think I've been missing something over the years to not be a little bit more involved in my local scene. Just this obsession I've had with national politics, I find it it's like sports to some people. You know, I like the financial markets, the big markets. I'm very interested in big scale economics and local economies too. But, you know, talking to Anya and Aaron Kate is just it is the potential of what people can do together if they would just leave us alone and quit picking our pockets for these plans. You know, yesterday I was listening to this Jen Psaki, Biden's spokesperson, and I just saw the quote. I certainly am not going to watch one of these spinmeisters. I don't care what party it is. I'm not going to watch them. But, you know, I just heard the quote that kept making the rounds in the news was, the question is not, talking about a COVID response, doing something too big. It's the problem is doing something too small. And it is this idea that these government agencies at the local, state, and federal level have, which is just spend everybody else's money. We will direct, we will take money. And as a libertarian, I point out to you constantly, when you pay taxes, it's at the point of a gun. It doesn't feel like it because you've been, a cow voluntarily walks, across the pasture. You voluntarily pay those taxes, but the bottom line is if you don't do it, they will send somebody after you, and if you still refuse, they will come after you with a gun, and if you refuse to get into the cage, they will kill you. Now, that sounds very hyperbolic, but the bottom line is it is this threat of force. They extort money. I think I call it more extortion. Hey, you got a nice life there. Sure would hate anything to happen to it. You know, that's really how taxes are collected. They take all this money, and then they just spend it in the most inefficient, ineffective, poorly directed, irresponsible way ever. And yet people on the local level are getting big things done. Big things done with small amounts of money. You know, you're talking about this organization that we just had in here, Center for Pregnancy Choices. $50 a month from a few households, some donations from some medical professionals of some time, and bing, bang, boom. No task force needed to get this thing going. No, you know what I mean? It's just people who go, hey, look, we got a problem here. I think a lot of people see the problem that we see. If we can just reach them and raise a little bit of money, we can hire some people that can really direct this effort. And boom, you've got something that is wildly successful. And it is just across the board that these things could kind of happen. And just imagine, I was talking earlier about the Barstool sports guy, Dave Portnoy, who's given money to these local businesses. Imagine if this Friday, or on the 1st and the 15th, you had nothing withheld from your paychecks. Nothing. If there was no April 15th, imagine the charity that people would do. Now, Some people wouldn't. They would hoard all that money and they would spend it on a ton of stuff. But we have shown time and time again, even with the government's hands in our pockets constantly, we still give a lot of money to charities. Can you even imagine how that would grow? And how many more people, if you unleashed the American taxpayer from the yoke of taxation and created more jobs and you had more prosperous people in this country and more people that are actually donating to these charities, actually solving problems? I am just here to tell you, I know I'm beating a dead horse. I say it all the time. Government has inserted itself into our lives, telling us that they are our only hope. They've got to come together. And by God, it's worked, because people say, oh, I want a Congress or a legislature here in Mississippi. I want them to get stuff done. No, you don't. No, you don't. Your neighbors are more capable. Your friend group is more capable. People who specialize in different areas are ready there to do the job, to provide a service, whether it's charitable or for profit. They're ready to do it. Do not be convinced that we need government bureaucracies to somehow manage every nook and cranny of it. We don't want it to be unfair here. We want to make sure there's rules. Well, it's always inspiring to see people who are just out there doing it. They don't take any, Center for Pregnancy Choices does not take any federal money. They're not grant-based. They are volunteer-based, so definitely check them out and help them. And any other local group and local businesses, we need to start thinking inward, really starting to take control of our own lives, because when this big whole system falls, and it will, only those local independent groups will be standing. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't.